Now, Lives in a Landscape. Alan Dean presents the last of six features about the sometimes surprising lives of people in Britain today. This week, a troubling story from the East Coast. Alan finally puts a face to the voice of a young woman whose story has haunted him ever since she talked to him by phone one dark night on Margate Sands.
Hannah, if you sort of roll back the years, go back to your childhood, you know, is there a time when you can feel that you were an innocent child, a happy child?
My nan always said I was nice when I was about four. But then ever since then, I went wild child.
Once upon a time, we went fishing for souls down the end of the line, recording random conversations with anonymous passers-by in public telephone boxes. In the resulting series, Don't Hang Up, Radio 4 listeners encountered Hannah the same way that I did. Hello?
Hello?
What happens tonight in Margate?
What happens?
Yeah.
Everyone gets drunk and just gets out of their knot and just starts fighting.
And what are you going to do you think?
Whatever happens, innit?
So anything can happen in Margate tonight?
Everyone starts fighting.
It was 2 years ago that I spoke with Hannah and a world of troubles in a booth overlooking the Margate Sands. For that night, for that hour that we spoke, Hannah reported war stories from her front line, the vicious night world of the once cosy British seaside.
Last night, some man jumped my friend, yeah? I just kicked him in the rib and then he kicked me in the nose. My nose just went pulling with blood. And I was, like, got up and off the floor and then started weighing him in, like, beating him up and that.
Oh, boy, you okay now? You're
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
So how old are you?
14.
14?
Yeah. Oh, who's that? Someone's banging on the wheel. Go away, you mug!
Her true tales, savage, raw and electric, made me shudder.
I had my future told, yeah?
Yeah.
And they said that I'd be tall and pretty, and they said that I'd be in prison by the time I'm 18 and I have five kids. I'm 14 years of age and I can still say I've had a hard life. I've been in 20 refuges. That is woman-beating refuges. I've seen my mum got beaten up and everything. But like, when I drink, it takes my mind off everything. When I'm angry, I think about everything that's happened to me and I start fighting. I've said it too many times that I try and sort myself out, but I know for a fact I can't.
And then she was gone, back into the night. By day, out of season, this place is dead. Just this wind whipping the sand across the beach and rattling the shutters. The places that she so vividly brought to life, the bars, the arcades, the takeaways, are waiting for the darkness.
All that's out there is bouncers and just police. Oh my God, there's two policemen walking up right now.
Hannah's unsettling experiences were heard around the world. People still ask, whatever happened to the girl from Margate? Who was she? Where was she going?
The cab has just dropped me off. It's not quite what I expected. The cab driver told me there was even a maypole, one of the last surviving maypoles in Surrey. It's in this village. Quiet village. It's like a safe house. I feel like I'm visiting someone in a safe house. It's just totally unexpected. This is so far removed from midnight by the sands of Margate.
Me and my girls, yeah, we run around this town, yeah, and no one says nothing to us, yeah. We wake up in the morning in our pyjamas and that, and we walk down Margate seafront and no one says nothing because they know they'll just get, you know.
I always worry of Hannah because she's so grown up for her age. You know, she might be just in that town at the wrong time, giving it all the lard, you know. And then on her way home, she might have just upset somebody and they're going to be lay wait for Hannah one of these days, you know. And Hannah's still only a little girl, isn't she? You know. And that frightens me. What would Hannah do, bless her?
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Very good to meet you.
Alan.
Hi, I'm Mark.
Hello. After all these conversations...
I didn't imagine you in a pair of pink pyjamas.
Yeah, but you know what the irony is? Is that I kind of did expect you in pyjamas, because if you remember,
Part of the conversation, you told me about how you and your friends would just put on a pair of pyjamas and go down the seafront.
Oh, yeah. I think I was... Oh.
And so you're still in those pyjamas, so...
Oh, it's 11 o'clock. I just
woke up. Oh, right. You had a good night.
Yeah.
Yes, good, good. Well, this one is really going to focus on you and your life.
Just why my life, though?
Because it's fate.
What's that?
Well, just the fact that we... spoke to you those 2 years ago on the phone.
Have I got to start from my life, but on my life to the top?
Well, I'd like to start where we left off, if that's okay. Because the last conversation I had with you, I don't know how much you remember of it.
Inside, I do believe there's a little girl that wants to come out of Hannah. She wants to be the norm. You know, there's part of her that would like to just be your normal, everyday 16-year-old girl.
And I'm standing in the phone box talking to you, so I don't end up getting nicked. And there's a big policeman that's got a truncheon on his head and he's walking right past me right now.
Yeah. The last time you spoke, you had been in various troubles.
Yeah.
What's your position as far as the authorities, the police?
After I spoke to you, I got put on a tag.
What was that specifically for?
Robbing a car, I think. No. I don't know, I can't remember. Cut it off 6 times in a week. So that was just... And then I went and stayed at my mate's for a bit and just, like, didn't go out or nothing because I was getting paranoid. They obviously caught me. I got a warrant out for my arrest and that. The last time I put it around a cat. I was out my nut at some girl's house and I hate cats, yeah. Pissed out my nut and I just can't remember. I took it off and I just put it around the cat's neck and it just went running off. In the morning, they come to my house and I was like, and then the only reason I got off tag is because I smashed my tag box up. I threw it out my balcony window thing, went back to court.
What's the situation right this moment?
Now I'm on an 18-month suspended sentence. So that means if I get nicked within 18 months, I go to jail for 18 months. I've got to admit, yeah, I'm on my last legs now. So basically, they've given me so many chances and there's only so much they can do. And...
I think that's an interesting point, the fact they've given you those chances. They because must see something.
No, lie.
What do you think it is? Because, you know, the sort of things you do...
Because I'm nice when I'm sober.
We've gone into the court, right?
Stella, Hannah's grandmother.
And the solicitor had said, come and had a chat with us and said, you know, Hannah, you might have to do a bit of community service, you might have to do this, blah, 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 blah. And Hannah said, well, save your breath, she said, because I'm not doing any of it. And I said, well, Anna, you'll have to go along with what they say. No, Nan, she said, you be quiet. And the magistrates told her to stand up, and she stood up. And they said, well, we've been talking with, you know, the probation, blah, blah. Can I stop you there, she said. Don't bother to waste your breath anymore, she said, because I'm not doing any of it. Now, it's entirely up to you what you do with me. Put me away, do what you like, because I'm not complying with any of it. So she said, that's all I've got to say on the matter. Thank you very much, goodbye. And stopped, just like that. She walked away from the court that day with nothing. They did nothing. And I got a £25 fine because I was the guardian, if you like, at the time. End of.
We're not in Margate.
No.
We're in Surrey.
Yeah.
What brings you to Surrey?
I've had a bit of trouble in Margate. So, to cool it down, come down in. I've been brought up here all my life. I moved to Margate to get away from my dad. Feels weird being back here after, like, 3 years. So, I don't know. I'd rather be here than not there, because it's just too much hassle down there.
What kind of trouble?
The truth. Right. I don't know. I don't really drink as much no more, but I take drugs. I'm fighting with my mum. I've been kicked out. My stuff is in the back garden soaked. And I had no choice, so...
Mm-hmm. Scream, shout, cry, smash, bash, call the police.
Tammy, Hannah's mother.
She phones them on herself sometimes if I don't. She'll come back 3 or 4 hours later, like nothing's happened.
The story as I see it is Hannah and her mother do not get on. It's like red rag to a bull. Doesn't matter how much Hannah tries, she can be there. One thing set out of place and the whole place erupts into a big explosion. Hannah losing her temper. Tammy phones the police. I'm having you out of here. I'm having you removed. The police come. Now, they've got two choices. They can either say to Hannah, on you go, Hannah, just keep away from the house, or we will arrest you. And 9 times out of 10, Hannah will go off. But then she has this problem of, where do I go?
She's just got a really bad attitude at the moment.
Do you think there's a possibility that she could be with you at home?
Yeah.
And do you think, is that what you'd like? You'd like her
to stay
with you?
Yeah, obviously, because she's my baby, but I can't talk to her. She always overtalks me, so an escalating an argument. So I'd normally write her a note or go through my mum, tell my mum, and my mum would tell her. Since we moved here, I think, she sort of found her feet, found her freedom. Before we moved here, she was with me all the time.
So it was coming to the Kent coast?
Before that, she spent a lot of her time with me, so... Yeah. But that was a sort of start of her freedom, staying out at friends and then finding out she's not really at a friend's house. They're in phone boxes, drinking, fighting, and I go to bed thinking, oh, she's safely at her friend's.
I take speed. Cocaine, like, I don't buy it, I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't buy no drug. I get it all for free. If I don't get it for free, then I go without. Do you know what I mean? Weed, I have to have weed, I buy that. And that's it. I've been in some scary positions as well, man.
You do worry. She thinks I'll just go to bed and don't worry, but you do, don't you? Wait for that phone call.
And you must have had a lot of phone calls.
Yeah. They phoned me, the police phoned me not so long ago, and said, your daughter's at Margate Hospital. Can you come up there? She's been involved in an accident. So, of course, you panic, don't you? And I've got my mum on the phone. I'm like, God. And then they said, oh, it's not that bad. She's discharging herself from hospital.
Did she tell you much about that crash?
No, not really.
The boy robbed the keys off some disabled man's car. I didn't know he was disabled at the time. Took the car, went to Broadstairs. I did not know how to drive. I had no clue, right? And I got in the car, and I remember driving. I went smash straight into the pub, yeah? And I was like, ah, shit. I got back in the back. My mate jumped in the front. He was like, rah. Parked the car up, got out. We were sweet. And then 2 hours later, I was like, oh, we want to go out again, right? Me and my other friend wanted to get dropped off. And I'm not exaggerating, he was going so fast and the music was like, boom, well, you're so rich, you don't care. I was like, yeah. Flew over this roundabout and the corner was like that, literally. And he's just gone, boom, and smashed into 3 cars and the lamppost has come down, smashed onto the car and the whole car has just gone up in smoke. I was on cocaine. I thought it was like not real and I had to like sit down and really think about what has just happened. But then we didn't have time to sit. We had to like get out of the situation. And then he grabbed me out, we ran, and I swear, we took about 10 steps and were surrounded in police. And it literally, like, dogs, everything. And I was like, shit. Police pulled up behind me, and I was like, where do you think you're going? I was like, oh, I just come back from my mate's house. He didn't believe me, no. Got arrested.
Thankfully, you didn't hit another car.
No.
Or anyone else.
Yeah, but you see, because Hannah's day would start at 10 o'clock at night. Then Hannah would want to be out all night and then come home and sleep all day. You know, you go to Margate in the daytime, you won't see a thing. There's nothing. Come night time, when the nightclubs and all the bars are open till sort of 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, that's when it starts to buzz. That's when Hannah comes alive.
This is how funny this is, right? I was about 13, yeah, with my friend, walking down Margate Arcades, right? Because everyone knows me, yeah? The man who works in the arcades was like, come here, Hannah. Went in there. He only found a big bag of magic mushrooms stuffed under the arcade, so he's only been given to me. I was like, what do I do with these? He was like, you eat them. I was like, oh, sweet. Walked outside and I thought I was in New York, all the fashion nights. I was like, sweet, I'm buzzing up a nut. Sat at a bus stop for about 4 hours, like, ah, shit, what's going on, man? I need to come down. I remember looking at a picture, right, and I actually thought the picture was coming out for me, and I was like, I think I need to go home.
Many a time I've been down there and seen her, but not let her know that I've seen. And thought,
Hannah's like the player. This is my terrain.
And she's made it hers, hasn't
yeah.
she? She's become the ace face.
Yeah. And everybody knows Hannah. Nobody says anything bad about her as such. You'll get a few of the girls say, oh, I wouldn't upset Hannah. And I don't think I'd want to upset Hannah myself, but there we go.
Do you frighten people?
No, I hope not. Some people get a bit intimidated, though, because I say what I feel. Some people don't like that. Like, I'm a bit loud as well. I've never been a bully, right? I don't agree with all that. I think if someone's scared, then if you think you're big enough, you think you're all hard and cool, why would you go for someone who's scared? Do you know what I mean? Why wouldn't you go for someone who's going to give it back to you? Do you know what I mean? So that's how I feel.
Who have you fought with?
Fighted with. Basically, I have fights with men. They don't care.
Boys. Your earlobe has just been severed. It's just been chopped.
Just flaps now.
What did you fight over?
Do you actually want to know? I left all my friends in that, went down to the kebab shop, walking home, quite drunk, all happy, I think. Saw a few of my other friends. They were with loads of boys, loads of them, right? We all went back to a house party and some little whore, I don't know if I can say this on radio, can I? Basically, she was in the bedroom. There were like seven boys lining up. One would go in there, do it, come out, next one, go in there, do it. I was like, what's going on around me? Went in there, I was like, get up now, you're in my mate's house, who the fuck you are? Right? Started going on a mad one. Obviously, the boys didn't like it. And from behind, someone pushed me. I actually fell on the bed. The bed had, like, collapsed in. And then I went to get up and I had a beer in my hand. And I was going to actually hit this boy with a beer. And some boy went smack, proper, knocked me out. And I was on the floor and all I can remember is one of the other boys, he was big, proper big, and he was stamping, literally stamping on my head. And I couldn't do anything about it. I got home and, well, I was just drunk. I just went to sleep. And I woke up in the morning and I couldn't open my eye. Like, my eye was just, like, black. I couldn't open it. And I had all blood all down my neck, and I thought, where'd that come from? And my ear was ripped.
I'm sure you could continue. I'm sure there's been fight loads. After fight after fight.
But I stick up for my friends. That's half of the fights I have is for my friends.
So you're sticking up for people. You believe that somehow that you...
Why should people get away? Like, you have no right to try and do that to my friends, so I'm going to have to back her up.
She don't like bullies.
Yeah.
But I never used to. Hannah beats bullies up. If there was a girl that she didn't like, for instance, being bullied, Hannah would stick up for her, even though she didn't like her or whatever. She doesn't like bullies. But now she does it. Not bully me as such, but tries to intimidate me verbally, I suppose.
I have got a lot of anger in me, really. I do not know where it comes from, and it's not too... Like, I'm fine now, fine. But it's only certain... Like my mum, she's done nothing wrong to me. And I've got so much anger there, it's unbelievable.
I'd prefer if I didn't have to phone the police, but social services said that I do have to because it's not fair on the little one seeing it. It's like a domestic violence, although it isn't. Fisticuffs, it's still all the verbal and the mess-making.
You can't lay the law down with her?
No. She fights the law and she wins, basically, so she says.
I got done for an assault on a police officer because I locked my mum and that in. There was a door there and I locked the door and it snapped. The thing snapped, so it was not opening for shit. The police were on the other side and my mum's like, ee-ee. And then they were pulling it and then the other man went to get something to knock it down. And I thought, right, I went, move, and I went, boot, and I kicked it through and the man was right behind it and he's just gone smashed, hit him. And then he just like looked at me and just rushed me. Two of them just like proper, I swear, they was actually put their foot on my head so I could not move because I was just going mad.
No one's going to stop her. And to anybody with any authority, she'll say, if I don't do what my mum says, I'm not going to do what you say.
Why did that situation kick off? What had happened?
Because I hit my sister. Well, she tried stabbing me and threw boiling hot water all over me, so I smacked her in the mouth with a belt bottle. And my mum found please.
You're Hannah's nan?
Yeah.
She's your oldest granddaughter?
Yeah.
Roll the clock back and tell me, what was she like as a youngster?
Beautiful. Do you know, when she was born, my Tammy lived with us. So I virtually took over and brought Hannah up, you know. My Tammy was only 17. All her birthday parties, magicians in the garden, you know. Her grandfather got her the big upstairs, downstairs Wendy house in the garden. You know, she was spoilt. And she was a good girl. I never forget... She started school. She's only just four. And she come home and I said, did you have a nice day at school, Hannah? Lovely, Nanny. She said, and you're not going to believe what. I said, what? She said, there's two girls in my class. She said, and they both got the same head. They were identical twins and she couldn't make it out.
So this is the family portrait. So who have we got?
Me and five kids.
Well, there's Hannah there, nice, lovely smile. You're both wearing black. Yeah,
and I always wear my hair up normally, only for that photo I didn't.
How would you compare yourself at 16 and Hannah at 16?
Exactly the same.
Well, what a cheerful, joyous photograph. All smiles.
Like a happy family. Hmm? Just goes to show photos lie, eh?
Do you remember there was a moment where you saw her change, do you think?
8 or 9. Then she started going off the rails a little bit. She started to play up at school. And several times I had to go to the school, you know, and they'd say, Hannah's done this or Hannah... And I couldn't believe it, you know. But I was a little bit on the defensive with Anna.
There's one a few years ago with her dad.
It's a lovely photograph.
That's 6 years ago.
So there's...
Hannah.
There's Hannah there.
She's
11. She's 11 there. Her chin on her hands, sort of looking at the photographer. The smile there.
A bit of a skitty one, sort of... You don't want to smile.
Slightly, yeah. You can.
I get embarrassed. I don't know. Domestic violence, sort of thing. He used to beat my mum up. I remember I was about 4 or 5, like flashback sort of thing. I remember he was proper punching her, which was on the sofa, and I remember jumping on his back, and he was like swinging me around, and I was on his back. That's the only thing I can remember when I was like little. So it obviously must have happened then. Mad.
Mm. Did you think that was normal? Do you think because?
Well, it was normal to me because it happened like every day, of my life.
You can see that she wants to look good for the camera, but at the same time, she's probably holding back a little bit, or there's something else there. It looks such a sort of cuddly, joyful group.
I still had a broken foot there, but you can see it. I didn't have it bandaged or nothing.
How did you have a broken foot?
Got hit with a Pyrex dish.
Who hit you with it?
Oh, their dad.
Hit you with a dish?
Yeah, a glass one, pirate's one.
Just threw it at you? Whacked it against you?
It's coming from my face. I put my foot up like that. So I hit the bottom. And broke it in 5 places. And I went to the hospital a fortnight later. They wanted to phone the police, so I left.
Mm.
It weren't until she got to probably 4 or 5 she actually knew what was going on. And she'd phoned the police and that herself.
Hannah's stepdad was a drug dealer. Not nice, you know, people knocking on your door 24/7. And then, of course, that used to annoy Tammy, you know, because she'd say, look, whatever you do, do it somewhere else. Don't do it here around my children. You know, and I give Tammy her due. She was ever so good like that at the time. She wouldn't entertain it. And, of course, then they'd end up fighting and rowing and Tammy would come off worse and...
The police used to be there, like, every day. I swear, an undercover policeman used to... When my dad wasn't there, I remember he used to come round, right, and he used to sit there and cry to my mum and was like, tell me I could get you out of this life, right, because he used to know, like, the family's reputation. It was, like, hard. That is who got us into the refuge. But it took 13 years. Well, we got raided by the police and he got... I remember he got 6 years in jail. That's when we went in the refuges. We went everywhere. Remember one woman, she only had, like... She used to wear it in, like, a cup thing. She only had that bit of her arm. Some man took a, what they called, samurai sword, went like that, and just took half her arm off. And then we got planted in Portsmouth, yeah? And when my dad came out of jail, we went to site for a weekend, and I remember coming back to Portsmouth, and we had nothing. The house was empty, where the landlord obviously thought we had gone and just shipped everything out, and we was, like, in the clothes we had nothing. We had to move back to the site with my dad. And then it started off again, and then she packed our old stuff, took my dad's car, ran away in the middle of the night, and we ended up in Down Kent. She had it planned. We had, like, panic buttons and all that in our house. My dad didn't know where he was at first. But, yeah, so we had to go 150 miles away from him. And I just went off the rails from there. And I thought, oh, look, I've just moved from, like, quite a rough area to down there. It's going to be posh, but no. That's what I saw. I went to this school and I used to get people trying to bully me, right? Like, I used to get, like, loads of groups of girls. Like, I mean, groups. I used to be on my own. I'd be like, I did get really intimidated. And I swear, I used to have that really sick feeling where I used to be scared. didn't want to go to school. And then one day I thought, right, I'm not having this no more. Who do they think they are? And the best thing to do is just go for the biggest one. I ended up getting this girl in the toilet and then...
What did you do to her?
Threatened her with a plastic knife. She went out of the toilet screaming, so... But then she grasped me up to teacher. And then I got kicked out of there. And none of the other schools would take me, so I had to go to naughty schools. I never went to them anymore. I can't read or write. Not good anyway. But now, like, I'm 16, I ain't going to school. I look back and I think, shit, I wish I did do it now.
But you had to confront things.
Yeah.
To confront...
I didn't have time to go to school.
Girls, other girls. Is there ever a point you felt you've had a choice to...
No. Not only when I got moved to Margate and had all that freedom, that I choose what I wanted to do.
So that was the moment where you could just...
Do what I wanted to do. And I went, bang. And then you rung the phone box and I was like, hello.
If they don't catch me, they don't catch me. But the way I feel right now is that I don't care about nothing. I'm just going to throw everything away. But when I'm older, I'm just going to regret everything. I just hope I'll grow up soon because otherwise I'm just going to lose everything.
I'm not proud of what Hannah's become, but I'm proud of the way she manages to cope with things. A lot of little girls would have just gone to pieces, wouldn't they? Whereas Hannah has sort of grown up overnight and she has become a survivor, you know. So I'm proud of her for that.
And what about your grandma?
She does worry badly. Like, she has to make sure everything's all right. Like, she got me down here. Even though we appreciate what she does for us, we don't show it. Like, we take advantage of it. But, yeah. She thinks that... I don't normally cry. She's like... Not talking no more.
Her luck's going to run out one of these days, isn't it?
Large parts of the city underwater. BBC News.
And what about your grandma?
She thinks that... I don't normally cry. She's like... Not talking no more.
Her luck's going to run out one of these days, isn't it? I know this is a selfish outlook, but I sometimes think, well, if she was put away, at least you'd know where she was every night.
What are you looking for, do you think, Hannah?
What do you mean, like, out of life?
Yeah. Sort of?
I want to get a job. That's for starters. That is, like, the main thing. But how can I get a job with, like, sort of the things? I've got a criminal record and I can't read well, so it's not that easy, is it?
Who do you get to talk to about this kind of stuff? Because obviously...
I don't talk to no one about things. Blood's still with it in my own way, if you know what I mean. I don't know. Like, I'd never be sitting here with anyone else saying all this while I'm saying to you. Well, except for that time in the phone box, I was like, hello. I think that was fate, mate, wasn't it?
Lives in a Landscape was presented by Alan Dean. The producer was Mark Berman.